I'm so glad to see all of you this morning. You know, SIO is a family, and I see a few new faces. A lot of our normal family is out of town, and then we have a lot of guests in town. So we're all family, and just want you to know that. I love what James said. He didn't say welcome to SIO, because SIO is not a place, it's a family. Instead, he said welcome SIO. And that the family gathers, and we are gathered, even as Phil just played, we gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. We gather together to praise Him. We gather together to worship Him. We gather to celebrate. We gather together to look in His Word and see what it can teach us, what it can inform us, how it can transform us and challenge us to be more and more like Jesus Christ. And this morning, I just want to begin with a simple question. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? How many of you, you're like a little sleepy because you've just eaten so much turkey and how many of you, just a quick story, how many had turkey? You ate turkey this week, okay? Pumpkin pie? Yams. How many had yams? Or sweet potatoes, that's the other name for yams. Okay? Any great tradition, like special foods that are unusual that your family does? We cook turkey on open fire. Okay. That sounds fun as long as no one gets burned. All right. Any other weird like food traditions anyone has? I was waiting for someone to say, you know, we drink what? Pomegranates, okay. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. This is kind of the image though, isn't it? Turkey and pumpkin pie, it seems like. How many of you watch football? I'm not talking yesterday. This row can put their hands down, okay? What an awful week this has been for football, unless you're from that southern state. We're not going there. But I was telling someone a couple weeks ago, the surest sign of God's grace is that we allow Ohio State Buckeye fans to be a part of our family. Sit down, Joel. Sit down. You guys can have your meeting later. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Rough week. Now, like I say, we often refer to SIO as a family, and it's good. Today's a very different, it's a unique morning. It's going to feel different. If you are here for the first time, we really want to just say welcome, and normally it's different around here, and that's okay. It's different is good, and we like to kind of mix things up a little bit. But it's about family. This is a season. We talk a lot about family, and family is a common word throughout the scriptures to describe the church. The body of Christ is a family. And the head of the family, of course, is Jesus. And that we are all members. We are, the Bible says we're brothers and sisters. And sometimes that's a really good thing. Sometimes maybe we wish it wasn't quite that way. Right? Some of you, maybe you gathered together with your sisters over the holidays. I got a chance to be with my sister this week. She lives all the way up in Brighton, 30 miles away in my hometown. Her children and my, but yeah, this mic's not this thing today, is it? I don't know. We'll see how this works. I'm glad we can laugh together. See, it's family. This is a good thing. This is actually a question for those of you like under 18, but how many of you know like, anything about the history of Thanksgiving? How did this whole holiday come about? You're over 18. I know that. Caleb. Pilgrims want to thank God for their mostly safe voyage. I think that works. That works pretty good. I actually did some research this week, and Thanksgiving is a holiday that's celebrated in many different nations, not just in the U.S. Canada is particularly known for it, but other even European nations celebrate Thanksgiving. And it usually has religious ties, and it usually involves giving thanks for harvest of one sort or another. And I thought that kind of made sense. Prayers of thanks and special Thanksgiving ceremonies are common amongst all religions after harvests and at other times. And I just want to give you a little history, and then we're going to dive into the Word. But I thought this was pretty fascinating. In the English tradition, days of Thanksgiving and special Thanksgiving religious services became important during the English Reformation in the reign of Henry VIII, and in reaction to the large number of religious holidays on the Catholic calendar. Before 1536, there were 95 church holidays, plus 52 Sundays, when people were required to attend church and forego work and sometimes pay for expensive celebrations. Can you imagine? The 1536 reforms reduced the number of church holidays down to 27, plus the 52 Sundays. But some Puritans, the radical reformers of their age, wished to completely eliminate all church holidays, including Christmas and Easter. Talk about throwing the baby out with the bathwater, I guess, on that one. The holidays were to be replaced by specially called days of fasting or days of thanksgiving in response to events that the Puritans viewed as acts of special providence. Unexpected disasters or threats of judgment from on high called for days of fasting. Special blessings viewed as coming from God called for days of thanksgiving. For example, days of fasting were called on account of drought in 1611, and days of thanksgiving were called following the victory over the Spanish Armada in 1588 and following the deliverance of Queen Anne in 1705. So there's your history lesson, everyone. You know, it's kind of hard for me to imagine a nation, our nation, calling all the people together for a day of fasting in the midst of difficulty and calamity. I mean, we just had a huge natural disaster on the East Coast a few weeks ago. I don't remember anyone calling for prayers and fasting. Did anyone hear anything about that? Like a national day of prayer, a national day of fasting. What did we do? We got the rock stars to do another television telethon thing, and we said, hey, let's get the celebrities doing their thing. Let's get the government involved. Let's get the insurance companies involved, and we'll clean it all up. Imagine if we lived in an era where we depended upon the grace and the power of God, and we called upon Him, we begged of Him for His mercy and provision, that we would fast and pray in a difficult hour. And likewise, imagine if we paused and we gave thanks to Almighty God for all the blessings and splendor in our lives. Except if we did the latter, we couldn't take one day to do it. It would require at least 365 and a quarter days a year to do. Because every day is a day, especially in our nation, especially in our community where we are so blessed. I've been reminded the last few weeks of just how blessed we are. Spending time, one, away from home reminds me of the blessing of home. But secondly, spending time in inner city Cleveland, every street I drive by, I'm just reminded of how materially blessed I am. How blessed I am with safety, how I'm blessed with a home, how I'm blessed with friends and family. That people, even in our nation, to say nothing of overseas that we see horrific photos of on TV, that even in our own community compared to other people in our nation, we are so blessed. We are so deeply blessed. I love the Thanksgiving holiday as much as anyone. In fact, for years it was my favorite holiday of the year, by far. Our family had a tradition, and our tradition was we would gather together about 100 Schneemans, if you can imagine that. For those of you who don't know, Schneemann means snowman in German. So imagine 100 snowmen all together, not literally, but we would gather together in a church at a fellowship hall, and we would do several things. There was an annual football game that we loved to play and watch, but I mean, we actually played a game in addition to watching the game. Most of us were musical, and so not only did we have our own choir and we sang songs of praise together, we had our own orchestra, and we'd play music. And of course, we would eat this meal that was ridiculous. I mean, 100 people, and it was just off the charts. And I think my favorite part is we would go around, and we would just share what we were thankful for. We would just talk about how God has been our refuge and our strength through the past year. And the neat thing about my family is I come from a very faith-rich heritage. That my great-grandparents encountered Jesus in the old country, in Germany.
my great-grandfather was a bouncer in a bar, and this guy led him to Christ, and he led my great-grandmother to Christ, and their nine children all followed Christ, and all their kids followed Christ, and I'm in that generation, and I'm trying to pass the baton on to future generations as well. But the Thanksgiving holiday is so, so powerful to me, even though that tradition is simplified quite a bit. We've downsized, you might say. But we still get together and just think about all the things that we're thankful for. And it just seems like our culture, well, we need to take time. We need to pause and be thankful. We are a very busy culture, aren't we? We're very productive. We go, we work hard, we play hard. We've got thousands of channels. We've got screens galore. We go, go, go. And I think the Thanksgiving time in this season is a great time for us to just pause and give thanks. This would be a great time to insert a whole sermon on Sabbath. We're not really going there today. But to pause and give thanks to God, from whom all blessings flow. Let's pray. God, as we continue our time together, we want to give you thanks. We want to recognize that every good and perfect gift comes from you and from you alone. Thank you for this family that we call SIO. Thank you for the relationships and the love and the trust, the generosity that continues to grow amongst the people in this room and beyond. Thank you for blessing us so richly and giving us the privilege of blessing you and blessing others. May we take that very, very seriously as we seek to honor and glorify you. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations in my heart please you, my God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, give thanks. That's my message today. So let's stand for closing prayer. Just do it. Go home. Have you ever noticed that, like, simple phrase like give thanks? I mean, we know, we go, yeah, it sounds like a good thing to do, but it's kind of like, Mom, you know, clean your room. Just because I said so. Just do it. And sometimes we respond in a less than genuine fashion. I remember the story of the little boy and his mom disciplined him and said, I want you to go sit down. Sit in the corner. And the boy sat down and he said, I'm sitting on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Right? This tension between what we should do or we're told to do and what we genuinely want to do, what we want to do from the heart. And I don't think it's really hard for a lot of us to give thanks. I mean, we can kind of go, okay, I'm thankful. I'm not, you know, and I'm not starving and I got a chance to eat food this week, or there's heat in the building and there's some basic things that I'm thankful for. But over and over and over and over and over again in Scripture, we're told to give thanks. And I think the reason it's repeated is because we forget. I think the reason it's repeated is because we need to be reminded. I think the reason it's repeated is because it's so important. It's so important for us to give thanks. And I don't know about you, but it seems like as time goes on, as I'm exposed to more and more ads and more commercials and more media and such stuff, the more I feel discontent and ungrateful and wanting more and more instead of being thankful for what I have. Paul said, one of the secrets, I found the secret to being content. And his secret to being content was understanding whose he was. The secret to being content was knowing that he was a child of a king. The secret to being content was to pause and give thanks and realize that he has been given so much. And friends, we've been given so much. It seems like such a paradox that right on the heels of Thanksgiving, this day of giving thanks, and now even on the day of giving thanks, we're rushing off to the mall to get all the stuff that we feel will make us happy. Or that will make other people happy. I mean, this Black Friday stuff. I used to be a big Black Friday fan, to tell you the truth. I even did that Best Buy thing at 6 a.m. where they bring me like coffee and stuff and try to get the cool electronic toys. But now it seems like they're starting Black Friday on Halloween. I mean, it's just mind-boggling, this whole machine to try to get us to buy more and more stuff that's going to make us happy or make us more discontent. We're told to give thanks because there's something so profound when we pause and give thanks that it sets everything into perspective. Paul repeatedly, I mean, these are just a few verses. You can look them up and they'll be posted online as well. 2 Corinthians 9:11, Ephesians 5:4, 1 Timothy 2:1, 1 Timothy 4:4 talk about giving thanks. And Paul says over and over to the people that he loved dearly, give thanks, my friends. Focus on thanksgiving. When we pause and give thanks, we realize how much we've been given. And I don't know about you, but one of the most important reasons for me to be here on Sundays is because it sets everything in perspective. No, you don't have to come to this building 52 times a year to be a good person. It's not about legalism. It's not about trying to play up to some checklist. But we gather so that we're reminded about how great and awesome our God is. We gather together to be reminded that the name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower. To remember that God is a shelter like no other. I was holding back tears singing that song earlier. Because as I'm in the midst of some horrible storms in my life, to be reminded that God is that shelter and that tower, and that He is strong and He is powerful. And no matter what forces come against me, I serve a God who is greater, who is able to do immeasurably more than I can ever ask or dream or imagine. And friends, if all we do is get fed the lies of the media that we need more stuff to make us happy, we're going to be miserable. You know this, right? You know that as a nation, we are one of the most miserable societies on the planet. I mean, they do surveys of people. I mean, people in Africa and in South America and Asia, all parts of the world. And over again, U.S. Americans come up among some of the most miserable people. Because we can never get enough. Because we're looking in the wrong place. And we don't pause to give thanks. Earlier we sang the psalm that said, give thanks to the Lord. And this phrase, give thanks to the Lord for He is good, His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. 19 times in NIV it comes up, and over and over and over again. And the word for thanks is the Hebrew word, and it's yada. Can you say that with me? Yada. There you go. You learned some Hebrew this morning. To give thanks over and over, the psalmist. And not just the psalmist, but others as well. This word yada, it means to give thanks, to express praise, to extol, to make a public confession, to make an admission. To praise is to speak of the excellence of someone or something. To give thanks has a focus on the gratitude of the speaker. And when we give thanks, we focus on our great God, the giver of every good and perfect gift. So I'm just wondering, how often do you give thanks? I mean, on a regular basis, not just on that Thursday once a year. But how often do you give thanks? Maybe some of you give thanks before a meal. There's sort of a tradition that we thank God for our food. It's not necessarily a biblical tradition, but it's a common one, an increasingly uncommon one. But to give thanks for our food. Maybe some of you give thanks before you go to bed. Thankful for the life that God gave you that day. Or thankful in the morning for the new life that awaits you and the new day that awaits you. But why do we really give thanks? You know, Luke tells a great story about these 10 lepers that went to see Jesus, and Jesus healed them. Miraculous healing. And then only one comes back to thank Him, which I think is pretty rude of the other ones, don't you? I mean, if someone heals you, you at least want to say, hey, thanks a lot. Maybe an email, maybe not a card, you know, but you at least send an email or a little wave or some gesture to say, hey, thanks for healing me. Thanks for changing my life. But one guy comes back, and he's a Samaritan of all things, because Samaritans are the most hated, despised people. And he's the one that comes back. You notice Jesus, he's always telling these stories, and these things happen where the bad guys become the good guys and the good guys become the bad guys. He just flips it all upside down. Seems like that's what God does all the time as well. But the Samaritan guy comes back, and it's interesting. Not only does he give thanks to Jesus, but in the midst of it all, he himself is blessed. I mean, what happens to the guy? He encounters Jesus. He comes back, says, thank you. And, well, look at this. Jesus asks, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner, this Samaritan, this scum of the earth guy? I mean, Jesus doesn't use those words, but the people in the context knew that and they understood that. This Samaritan guy. And then Jesus says to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." What a blessing. Can you imagine if Jesus came to you and said, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you..." Like, your faith. What a commendation. Commend. Did I say that right? Commendation. What a blessing. What a joy. He pauses to give thanks, and instead of blessing Jesus, or in addition to blessing Jesus, this man himself is blessed. Jesus was blessed at this man, and they were both blessed in the process. When we give thanks, we are blessed. You know, the Jews had a long history of celebration and of giving thanks, and they still do to this day, although it's not celebrated quite as much, in at least in this country. But when they would celebrate, they would celebrate. I mean, we take a day and we celebrate, right? Or maybe a couple hours, maybe your meal. They would celebrate for like a week. I mean, the Jews knew how to party. I mean, they truly knew how to party, how to give thanks. And they just would blow out all the time. And throughout the Jewish calendar, you see these festivals and celebrations of the people saying, "God, we thank you for the harvest. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for delivering us out of Egypt. We thank you for your goodness." And how much more, friend, should we post-Calvary pause to say, "Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you for giving us not only daily bread, but eternal life." And Thanksgiving for me, first and foremost, is a celebration of life, and the celebration of life not only in my family, but celebration of life that we have in Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him and what He's done for us. Listen to these words of wisdom. A.W. Tozer said, "A thankful heart cannot be cynical." Been meditating on that one a little bit this week, because I can be pretty cynical. But it's amazing what Thanksgiving will do to that heart. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "We pray for the big things and forget to give thanks for the ordinary, small, and yet really not small gifts. How can God entrust great things to one who will not thankfully receive from Him the little things?" We have so much to be thankful for, big things and little things. Ultimately, giving thanks, like joy, is a choice. Henry Nouwen said, "Gratitude as a discipline involves a conscious choice. I can choose to be grateful even when my emotions and feelings are still steeped in hurt and resentment." It's amazing how many occasions present themselves in which I can choose gratitude instead of a complaint. I can choose to be grateful when I'm criticized, even when my heart still responds in bitterness. I can choose to speak about goodness and beauty, even when my inner eye still looks for someone to accuse or something to call ugly. Friends, life is hard, but God is good. Amen? Oh my goodness, that was pathetic. Friends, life is good, but life is hard. But God is good. Amen? We're going to get this. All right. An old hymn, maybe some of you know this song, "Count Your Many Blessings." I looked up a couple of the verses. "When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be disheartened. God is over all." What a great line. "Many blessings angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end." We need to pause and remember that He is good, that His love endures forever. Thanksgiving puts everything in perspective. And I wanted to take just a few moments, and I don't know what's going to really happen here, but you know, as I said, my family has this tradition of just pausing and giving thanks, just briefly, one or two things that they're really thankful for. And I thought, as a family today, it might be good for us just to do that together. And we don't have time for 10-minute stories and, you know, long details, but just maybe a quick one or two things that you're thankful for. There's this thing called popcorn prayer. I don't know if you've heard of popcorn prayer. Just spout a quick little prayer. But I wonder if, as a family, we can just take a couple moments right now and just, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful to God for at this season, of this day? Anyone?
Going to be a grandfather in April. Congratulations.
For your family and alive to still be with them. Amen. Found a job. Yeah. Oh, you can celebrate that. James's whole family celebrating that, I think, right? Yeah. Yeah. You live in this country. Yep. Absolutely. Someone over here? What?
I'm thankful when people express their pains in their lives, because then we can, and for the ability to reach out and help them. That is just so life-giving to me, to be able to, whether it's prayer or giving in some other way, to be able to give back. That does something for my soul and rejuvenates me.
Mm. Yeah. That's great. Did y'all hear that? When people express their needs, and we talked about that a couple of weeks ago at the Future Forum, just as a family, when we care for one another and we serve one another and we share life together, we rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Absolutely. Roy. For the truth of God, absolutely. Friends and loved ones?
I'm thankful for style people, many of them that came over and helped move my stuff, and they're going to help today and some more. And hopefully I'll get in on it by the end of the month.
All right. Thankful for help moving. Fabulous. Yeah, protection for your great nephew that was found and is coming home. For being a Christian, not being persecuted. Yeah, for mom going to see her brother in Las Vegas. Thanks for church family and meals and prayers.
Thankful for Pastor Kirby's family.
Thank you. I'm thankful for all of you. Very thankful, especially at this season. We've been very, very, very blessed by your prayers and support.
I'm thankful for a good friend, Carol.
For a good friend? Good friends are such a blessing, aren't they? Well, we could probably go on and on endlessly with the things that we are thankful for. As I said, our family is very thankful for our Sile family, and this week I'm particularly thankful for my family, just because we got to spend 4 days together. Four precious days together when we've been torn apart with medical issues and stuff, living in two different states. And unfortunately, that chapter continues, but so we appreciate your continued prayers. But it has just been wonderful. It's reminded me of just how blessed I am as a man to have three amazing children and a wife that I adore and extended family. And Thanksgiving does that. It puts things in perspective. It helps us realize how blessed we are. And it's a blessing to God when we offer thanks back to Him. Perhaps the most oft-quoted scripture involving thanksgiving is Philippians 4:6, which says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." You know, we live in a fast-paced, complicated world where we're bombarded with tons of news, usually bad news, that gets us all down and discouraged and depressed. And it's natural for us to be anxious. It's natural for us to fear. But that's where followers of Jesus are called to live different, radical, countercultural lives. We're called to not be anxious, but instead, with prayer and petition. And I love this line, with thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but often when I pray, my prayers don't include thanksgiving. I mean, there's a time for thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for this. Now let me get on to my real business. God, I need your help right now. That it says that as we pray, as we turn away from fear and anxiety, as we go to Him with the stuff that really matters in our lives, that we can go to Him with thanksgiving. Why? Because when we're thankful, we're reminded of His goodness and faithfulness in the past, and it gives us confidence and faith for the future. When we go to Him with thanksgiving, it blesses Him, which can only help our case. I'm not saying we have the ability to manipulate God or whatever, but you all have people in your lives that come to you for stuff all the time, right? Can you please give me, I need help. And then you have other people that are so grateful and they express their thanks. And as soon as they do that, don't you want to help them again? I mean, you do something nice for someone and they're like, "Oh, thank you so." Don't you want to just want to do more and more and more? There's something powerful about thanksgiving, even with our relationship to God. And again, I'm not saying that if you thank God enough, He'll just be this genie and do everything you have to do instantly on demand. That's not the way God works. His ways, His plans, His purposes are much higher than ours. But it says that when we go to Him with prayer and petition, instead of worry and fear and anxiety, when we go to Him to present our request, that we go with thanksgiving. And I was really struck because I never saw this in this verse before. It never really hit me quite this way, that we, even in our prayers, even in our petitions, that we give thanks. And so, God, we give You thanks. And as we thank You, we also have these other things that are on our hearts that we want You to take care of instead of our own worry and fear. How appropriate. You give thanks and say, "But I still need prayer." We're going to pray for you for healing, but knowing that God is good and faithful. Dolores, you mentioned prayer requests about for your friend, and she's having issues. You give thanks and you give prayer. We all have needs and issues and desires and longings, don't we? And rather than just SOS prayers, and I've prayed my fair share of those, that we bring those to Him with thanksgiving. When we give thanks to God, it doesn't guarantee that He'll answer on demand, but it reminds us of how we are blessed. His faithfulness, His goodness, His mercy, His grace. And it orients us toward faith. It orients us in a way that connects with God and blesses God and blesses us. G.K. Chesterton said this so well. "When we were children, we were grateful to those who filled our stockings at Christmas time. Why are we not grateful to God for filling our stockings with legs?" Think about that one. Regardless of your circumstances, we all have much to be thankful for. Psalm 104 says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name."